5?
Huh?
Sounds like it. Okay. I'd like to call the meeting of the Board of Adjustments together at this time. And Mr. Ashley, would you give us a roll call?
Okay. Dave Clementson.
Present.
Tom Gideon.
Present.
Tony Mullen.
Present.
Mark Weiss.
Present.
David Nelson.
Here.
We do have a quorum.
All right. And would you give us the public hearing procedures for tonight's meeting?
Okay. Yes. Sorry about that. I'd like to welcome you this evening to the March 20th, 2013 Board of Adjustment public hearing being held in order to hear a single variance request. The Board of Adjustment hearing process is governed by the provisions of the Missouri Revised Statutes, the Taney County Development Guidance Code, and the adopted Board of Adjustment bylaws. Public hearings are held on each variance request which is filed with the Planning Department. I'd like at this time to place the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B. The staff file, including all pertinent information for the case, is Exhibit C. And the Board of Adjustment bylaws is Exhibit D for the case to be heard at this public hearing. A staff report for the variance request will be read, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you wish to comment upon the variance application, you'll need to sign the sign-in sheet at the front of the room here. Anyone wishing to speak either for or against a variance request must be sworn in and will be providing sworn testimony. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to provide sworn testimony, your name will be called by the Board of Adjustment Chairman. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the board. All comments or questions are to be addressed to the board and not to anyone in the audience. All speakers who are not party to the case shall be limited to 5 minutes unless additional time is granted by the chairman. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob. And David, would you give us the governing statutes?
The Board of Adjustments shall have the following powers, and it shall be its duty. Number one, to hear and decide appeals where it is alleged there is an error of law in any order. Requirement decision determination made by an administrative official in the enforcement of the county zoning regulations. Number two, to hear and decide all matters referred to it for which it is required to determine under the zoning regulations adopted by the county commission as herein provided. Where by reason of exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape, or topography, or other extraordinary exceptional situation or condition of a specific piece of property, the strict application of any regulation adopted under section 64.845 to 64.880 would result in peculiar and exceptional difficulties to or exceptional and demonstrable undue hardship upon the owner of the property as an unreasonable deprivation of use as distinguished from the mere grant of a privilege to authorize upon an appeal relating to the property, a variance from the strict application so as to relieve the demonstrable difficulties or hardships. Provided the relief can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without substantially impairing the intent, purpose, and integrity of the zone plan as embodied in the zoning and regulations map.
Thank you.
Yep.
And we have case tonight, 2013-0001-V for Rick Schmidt. Would you give us the staff report, please?
Okay. This is case number 2013-1-V. The applicant is Rick Schmidt, and the representative is Rochelle Croteau. The location of this property is 287 Green Acres Road, located within the Green Acres subdivision. It's in the Branson Township, Section 5, Township 23, Range 21. And here's just a little closer shot of the property in question. The applicant, again, is Rick Schmidt, is requesting a variance from the provisions of Appendix B, Step 2C, which states that no more than one dwelling shall be allowed per two-acre lot when using an on-site septic system. The subject property is described as Lot 12 of Green Acres Subdivision and contains approximately 2.29 acres, according to the assessor's information. The property in question contains an existing residence which is currently served by an individual septic system and a community well. The applicant is seeking to construct a second residence on the 2.29-acre lot. It's my understanding that they're seeking to construct the second residence upon the back of the property, basically, or the back of the lot. Again, the applicant is seeking a variance to allow for a second residence to be placed on the lot served by an on-site septic system. I've just put in some shots that we've got of the property. For whatever reason, the property lines don't show up on this, but we've got a here's basically the property in question and the existing house, and we've got a north, south, east and west view, and essentially it's my understanding that the if this was approved, the second residence would go somewhere along this side. In review, the applicant is requesting a variance from the requirement that only a single dwelling served by an on-site septic system may be allowed on a two-acre lot in order to allow for the construction of a second residence. The representative, Ms. Croteau, has indicated that due to her age and health restrictions, the applicant is seeking a variance allowing for the construction of a second dwelling in the rear of the property, basically enabling Mr. Schmidt to provide on-site care for his mother. A number of the adjoining residences within the Green Acre subdivision contain multiple residences. Upon additional investigation, it does appear, however, that Ms. Croteau currently resides in a home located at 243 Green Acres Road, which measures out to approximately 160 feet from the existing residence owned by Rick Schmidt, which is located at 287 Green Acres Road. The property in question is served by a community well. Representatives from the Homeowners Association have indicated that the community well may not have adequate pressure to serve an additional residence. The staff has contacted the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, and they've indicated that they do not really have the authority to deny or ensure that there's a water connection until such time that the pressure is lowered beyond a minimum threshold. They didn't really indicate to me what that threshold was, but in summary, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this variance request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. First, approval of a variance from the provisions of Appendix B, Step 2C of the Taney County Development Guidance Code concerning the requirement that no more than one dwelling shall be allowed per two-acre lot when using an on-site septic system. Second, compliance with all other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. And third, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. We've got just a couple of brief videos. We shot one video from the front of the property and one video from the back. And this is actually a shot from the back of the property.
This is
essentially the property in question here.
The one with the fence or without the fence?
There's a barbed wire fence across
the Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think there is a barbed wire fence. Oh, sorry. And then thought I actually had these switched, but this is a shot of the front of the property. And essentially, it's my understanding that they would actually construct the house way back toward the back of the property. And this is the existing house. And just a quick 360. Oops, sorry. And basically, I think I just did a little.
Okay. All right. That conclude that?
Yes, yes.
All right. If those would those of you who are going to speak tonight, I need to swear you in, so if you'll stand and raise your right hand.
Would you like to put another name on that? Would you like to put another name on that?
Technically it is, but I'll allow it.
Well, I live south of here, so her property is doing mine. I need to sign the paper. But...
Well, you need to sign the paper for us, please. That's all right. Pardon the delay. Raise your right hand. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you. Ms. Grotto, if you'd like to come forward and present your case to us in your words.
My son couldn't be here tonight, so I'm representing him. He wants to build a small house at the back of that property, so that when the day comes, which may not be too far off, 2 or 3 years, hopefully longer, but maybe not, he will be available to help take care of me.
Okay.
Do you know approximately where the sewer septic system is now located?
There's a little pointer up there, too. Okay.
I think it's about in there.
That's correct.
But I'm not sure exactly. But that's not where we want to build the house. He wants to build it, like, up in there, if I've got my directions straight.
I'm sorry, if we could have the comments just for the person that's speaking, please. Mark, do you have any questions?
I think I'm understanding it now, but it looks like you live in the 1.12 acre lot. You do not live in that house that's in front. That is
no, I do not. And that house will be taken down once the new house is built.
Who lives in the house up front?
It's a rental house. But they have been told that they will, once he gets moved in, that we are going to take it down.
So my question now would be, if I may, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Will there be one lot on that home eventually?
Eventually, there will only be one home on that lot.
Do you plan to ask for a lot split?
Pardon?
Do you plan to re-subdivide that lot?
No.
It is my understanding that the property you live in and the next one and the next one before the Schmidt property are in...
That's my house, right? The house I live in is right there.
Uh-huh. And who lives next to you?
This one?
Uh-huh.
That's Rick and Kathy Tedder.
And she's the trustee for the Sydney W. Trust?
Yes.
Sydney W. Croteau Trust?
Yes.
And who lives in the next property?
Her daughter and her son
not
did live in that one.
Not back there along to the west, to the left of the picture?
Oh.
Right.
That is also a rental. Mr. and Mrs. Rhodes live in that house.
Okay. Okay.
But the house is actually owned by the Sidney Croteau Trust.
So you own four pieces of property right now under the trust name, or in your name, or in Tedder's name?
Four pieces now.
Uh-huh. And Rick owns the vacant lot, or the lot that's in question that he wants to put a second dwelling, it says here.
Yeah. Well, it will take a while for him to get the house built, but once that house is gone, once the new one's built, then the old one will be gone.
Yeah. And what what's going to prevent you from living at 215 or 215?
At 215 is Mr. and Mrs. Rhodes.
All right, 243 then, I'm sorry.
Are you 243 living is my residence.
And what prevents you from leaving that property? You're living in it now?
Yes, I am. It's part of the trust, and I have right to live there until I pass away.
Okay, so you really don't need an additional house. If Rick wants to remove the tenant and move himself in there, he would be probably pretty close to you then, would you not?
He would be a little bit closer.
Uh-huh.
But he wants to build a new house because that is an old mobile home that's about to fall down.
Yeah. Well, as you know, the county code says that we cannot have more than one dwelling per two-acre tract that has a septic system being on it rather than a public or county sewer. And that's the variance request that you're asking for. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right.
But there is another house on the lot next to me. It's unoccupied right now.
Now, those lots were grandfathered in before the zoning, before the code came in, so
mm-hmm.
they were grandfathered in, and
mm-hmm.
we understand that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further questions?
I have one for Bob, though. I mean, if he was going to wouldn't there be some way, if he was going to remove that house, wouldn't there be some way that, because essentially he's removing that, then there's only going to be one house on this lot, so then it would be
We talked about early on about the possibility of putting a condition on the Division 1 permit where the old house would be removed within a certain time frame. But I think we're, I'm not sure, but I think we're talking about the possibility of a few years. But I'm not certain of that. I may be misspeaking.
It's going to take him 2 to 3 years to build the house.
And
probably.
I think there was
because he wants to build it himself.
So is, may I?
Yes, David.
Are you going to use the existing septic?
Pardon?
Are you going to use the existing septic system, or is he going to put in
one? No, he'd have to put a new one in because that one is too far down the hill to run.
And the new house would be here.
Sewer pipe into that.
Somewhere. And then the old ones.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dwayne Atchley, any relation to Mr. Bob Atchley?
I asked him.
Not that we're aware of.
I got this back.
Okay.
I want to give you guys a... You want to see what you're looking at?
Yeah, we've got one of these, which is a little smaller version.
You'll notice, I need to show you something, then I'll go to the podium. On this property right here, there's an existing waterway that runs water off of, all the way back up here, and it goes right down through that valley. It goes across this property, it turns, it goes down my son's property, and right across the back of my property. When they clear that hill, Paul, there's going to be twice the water coming off that hill, going down, and it's going to erode the backside of my property, my son's property. So I wanted to make that statement before I go any further.
All right.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Could you repeat that for the record on the mic so that we can be sure we can pick it up? Not that I'm...
My name is Dwayne Atchley. I live at 300 Green Acres Road in Green Acres Subdivision. I live directly across the street. I'm the guy with the greenhouse that you've seen on the film.
Uh-huh.
That's my place right across the street from where his driveway is planning on going. My first question is, I need to know What is he going to build? Is he going to build a one-story house, two-story house? Is he going to get a permit for a number one permit, a number two permit, or a number three permit? Is he going to be commercial? There's a lot of issues here that we don't even know what's going on, because we all know Rick, and he lives in Springfield.
He would have to abide by the code if he's allowed to do this.
Okay, well, that's one thing I want to know that before he builds, because I already know Rick.
Yeah.
I've known him I've been there 25 years.
Yeah.
I've seen what he does. And I don't think he'll build a house in 3 years. I don't think he'll build a house in 5 years. I don't think he'll tear that house down. I think he'll rent it, because that's what he's doing right now. Anyhow, back to where we're at. I'm real, really concerned about the sewer system. If he builds a house in there, he's going to have to abide by minimum 1,250-gallon septic system with probably 300 feet of 10-inch bag or 4-inch bag lateral system somehow. And if he don't put it in correctly, it's going to run down the waterway, across me, across my son, eventually to Emory Creek, eventually to Lake Taneycomo, because that's where that creek runs into. That's my second concern. You know, guys,
understand?
It really bothers me that, you know, that's gonna happen in the water system. Mm-hmm. We got guys that use more water up on our hill, and in the middle of the summertime, there'll be times when it's pretty sulfury, and sometimes it gets the mud. So right now we know that there's something going to happen. Well, that's going to affect all of our pocketbooks when it comes time, because we're going to have to go deeper in the hole, either bigger casing, bigger pump, bigger well, drop our pipe, and everybody in that subdivision is going to be coughing up money to do this, because people in this room that we won't name names were supposed to have been taking care of our water system, and a lot of money come up missing. We won't name any names. But, you know, that's a big concern. Now we don't have a large fund in our water system to be able to add what we need down the road. They upped our water bill, so now everybody's paying more money so we can get our coffer back up so we can eventually maybe do something to our water system to upgrade it. I've been there 25 years. I'd like to stay, you know. I don't want to have to drill a well. Between me and my boy, we got 5 acres. We could probably drill our own well, but I don't want to spend the $10,000 to do it. I want to be on their system.
Any other point?
That's my point.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Rick Tedder.
I'm not sure how much my concern has on this situation. So I am the president of the Green Acres Homeowners Association. My concerns here are with our well system. Now, if you don't think that has any bearing on this, then I probably don't need to continue. If you do, then I can voice my concerns.
Well, you have 5 minutes to voice those.
We had an instance this past summer where we lost water pressure. I contacted Holcomb Pump Service. They said that the water table in our area had dropped by 100 feet. There's a very good chance that we may end up having to drill a new well as it is, because we're already over capacity. I guess years ago, Holcomb's was telling the previous people that we needed to stop putting homes on there, and people kept doing it anyway. So, and because of that, we're, as I said, over capacity on our well right now. I'm concerned, you know, we've got 20-some families living on that street in that subdivision, and I'm concerned that another home will increase the load enough possibly to further damage our well. I guess that's all I've got to say.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Charles Goldberg, you'll have to help me out.
Charles Goldberg, sir.
Goldberg?
Yeah.
How do you spell that name?
G-O-L-B-B-E-R-G.
Thank you.
I live right there. My house is right there. He's wanting to put a property, the house, a septic right here. Now, I know you gentlemen have a topographical map. All this right in here runs right down my hill into my front yard. And I had problems with my septic already. And I do have a $1,000-gallon tank in there. And when I put my tank in there, Tanner County gave me a hard time. But if he puts one in here, all that septic's going to run right here in my front yard. And I can show you. And you're going to come out, you guys are standing here, you got my front yard, you can see right through the woods right here anyways. There's septic tanks right here. There's a culvert right here. This is very nasty in the summertime. All that runs right down there. My grandkids can't even play out here. That's my concern.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Robertson. Spell the last name for us, Jim.
Robertson.
Thank you.
I'm trustee for the Brush Ridge Trust, and this is my private road right here going back to some acreage I have back behind. And I was just wondering, if they build a house back here, are they planning on building a long access road to get back there, or am I going to have trouble with them trying to come across my road to get there? You know, that's, we already know that that this area right in here is kind of a marshy area, and just want to know if they're going to divide the lot or if they're going to build a long driveway to get back there.
All right. Thank you. That's one reason we do have a code in place. I'll close the public portion of the meeting and turn it over to the members for consideration. Somebody like to make a motion?
I don't. I'll make a motion to deny. I don't see any hardship.
I'll second it.
All right. Been made, motion made and seconded to deny the request. Any further discussion? Okay, I'll call for the vote then. David, you made the motion.
Deny.
And Tom?
Deny.
Tony?
Deny.
And Mark?
Deny.
And the chairman likewise. So you have a denial on the request, ma'am. Thank you very much. Next order of business is just to approve the minutes of the last meeting.
Move to approve.
Sounds like the meeting I was at. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Anything for the good of the cause, Mr. Bob?
Don't have too much new. The County Commission has it on their agenda to discuss the nightly rental amendments tomorrow. And I think potentially they may take action.
Is there anything going on with that still?
Well, they're kind of leaning toward doing it. I mean, or do they know yet as far as anything?
I don't know for certain yet, but I think there's a possibility they may adopt the amendments.
And so this won't happen? Or is it amending it so it can happen?
It really limits, it'll limit the occupancy, and it'll spell out parking requirements and really spells out a lot more of the nightly rental requirements in detail.
Do they do noise ordinance on that and stuff? Or?
It really doesn't mention anything on noise, to be honest.
By bedroom or?
But it does basically limit it to two persons per bedroom, plus two people for the whole facility. So essentially, if it was a three-bedroom house, they could have up to a total of eight, which is still quite a few. But
so,
we have instances now where they're having 30 or 40 people in a
house. So, and is it anybody's house can do this? You just get a special use permit and go to town?
At this point, yes. Now that,
at least with the bedroom thing, two per bedroom. I mean, that's.
Well, but we've got people that have been told not to do this, and they're doing it. So what makes us think that they're going to stick to two per bedroom?
They got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Compared to what the three sentences we got now.
Yeah.
So. Will it put more teeth into enforcement?
I don't know if it will necessarily at this point. We do have a couple of different cases, though, that are being prosecuted. So we've got a couple of these. They are continuing to operate, even though they don't have special use permits, but they are actually being prosecuted.
They're told to stop, and they're still going.
Yeah, so they're still, basically, these are being battled out in the courts right now.
You'll let us know how they turn out if it doesn't make the paper.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Shoot us an email.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have anything next month?
We just got one today. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all for now, isn't it?
Okay. Well, one thing that didn't make the paper that I called Benito on was that we had an incident with one of the residents of the Church Army home that is out on Freeman Road. And actually broke into several homes, and long story short, they were looking for him for 3 days, and the sheriff didn't notify any of the neighbors in our neighborhood that he should be out.
Oh,
and he broke in two of the houses, took some guns and some booze, and got a four-wheeler that had the key in it, and was running around the hillside. But there was two properties on Freeman Road that was under the ownership of the Church Army. Now, I don't know if they're both occupied. That was a part that, there is some provision for one being allowed, but I'm not sure that there's enough credence for having two in the same general vicinity being allowed. And the other thing was that the recycling center from Hollister moved out of business Hollister, out on the Freeman Road, and is operating a recycling center without a permit.
Okay. What? No. Are you talking about the metal? Maybe you're right, but there's a metal recycling facility there that I happen to lease Ken Roper's property to that's private. Is that what you're referring to, or is there a recycling
center? Is it the one that just moved, that just opened?
In the old Olson bread business?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. That's in the county, and they didn't apply for a permit for use.
You're probably right that they didn't apply for a permit for use.
Yeah.
There's another Church Army over off of.
They own about 14.
Well,
15
one of them is
properties.
Down past the college, down in there.
Yeah.
They were breaking into an old folks' home.
But I didn't know if there was any, if Scott had been out on it or not.
I do know he's been out to both on the group homes. It's been kind of a test, kind of a touchy situation in the past. The previous county attorney had advised the previous planning administrators that it was his opinion that a group home type facility wouldn't require a change of use, wouldn't require a Division 3 permit. But I know that the county commission has actually received a number of complaints as well.
And they still call that a single family residence?
Well, that's their...
I mean, that's what is the current use for homes out that way.
The former county attorney was quoting a statute, a state statute, but it's actually a statute that governs municipalities. The county statutes are silent to group homes, but he was this statute that governs planning and zoning for municipalities speaks to them being treated the same as a single family residence. At this point, the staff is actually in the process of drafting new regulations, and I'd actually like to propose, I don't know where it'll go, but I'd like to propose some group home regulations.
Well, I know one of them has, I think, 4 bedrooms and 16 or 18 people.
Exactly.
In there. They're putting 4 cots to room. And
now, the thing that may be tough, I can't find, we've tried to do some, the staff's tried to do some research, and in the history of the planning and zoning program here, I can't find a single instance where a Division 3 permit's been required. And so even if we're able to adopt a set of regulations, it's likely that we won't be able to go back retroactively. We'll probably just have to look at new facilities from the date of that adoption forward. But I have been looking
into
it.
You're right on municipalities, because Branson, there was one by this Catholic church. They had two in one block.
Yeah.
And when it came to light that they had those two, they had to sell one or move it back to out of their group home.
We have received a large number of complaints, actually, recently on several facilities. And so I've actually already drafted some regulations. The thing I have debated is, like I said, at this point I've actually got them as a part of a more traditional zoning ordinance where basically you would limit group homes to certain zoning districts. And that's my hope. I never know. When you propose something, you never know.
Well, there's a definite need for it.
Need is there for sure.
But
then again, it's...
They need some regulation and some kind of control over consequences to how these people behave, though.
You've got to be... I think Mark started to touch on this, too. You've got to be really cautious about the ways in which you regulate this type of facility, though. There's one of the Missouri state statutes defines persons that are handicapped, and it actually defines a recovered alcoholic or drug addict as being handicapped. And so you've got to be really, really cautious on how you regulate these. You've got to...
That word handicap.
Exactly.
Stroke.
And you've got PC, public opinion, and you've got...
So it's a difficult one. It's really a challenging one.
Well, the close proximity of one to the other in a neighborhood or an area is too, in my opinion, too much for that area to handle. But
do they need to be in neighborhoods, or can we have
wherever they buy the property.
Yeah.
That's
the hard part.
It's a difficult thing because, you're going to buy the property in the neighborhood. So.
Yeah.
Okay, any further discussion?
I move we go home.
We'll adjourn then.
Benita, I'm glad you got to see me.
So when I come out and ride the roller coaster, you're going to...